Good afternoon. I'm going to chair the session on myth, religion, and spirituality. And we're going to go in exactly the same way as we've done with the other panels. So Satnarayan Balkaran Singh will be talking first. And Satnarayan is a former senior public servant in the government of Trinidad and Tobago who functioned in several capacities, and he's got a very long list here, which I'm going to précis. But particularly as an economist, policy planner, deputy and permanent secretary. He's a musician, a dancer, a choreographer, an artistic director who has performed extensively with over 35 stage productions and 8 ballets. And he also studied in India, UK and Trinidad and is currently awaiting evaluation of his PhD thesis. So we wish him well with that. And his paper is entitled, and it's one of the longer titles. Okay, I'll start it off, shall I? The challenges encountered in documenting comparable performative traditions in different spaces and places. The open-air Maidan, Ramlilas of Ayodhya, Faizabad, India, and Felicity, Trinidad. So.
Thank you. I want to express my appreciation to the University of Hawaii, Professor Davideen, Leticia, and your staff for organizing this conference and inviting me. I also want to thank Professor Samau for encouraging me to work in this area and with the format. The paper is presented in three parts. The challenges... Oh, lovely, thanks. The paper is presented in three parts, the challenges of doing this kind of research, the findings, and then the conclusion. And, what's happening now? Right, good. When one begins to talk about rituals, festivals, traditions, and you start documenting it, two things arise immediately. Concept of space and place. Wa Re Mong Shkup Yang says space speaks, places express, but you could only understand the message if you have the skill to perceive the unique quality of the specific culture in addition to interpreting the perceived of the culture. S.P. Singh further goes on and said, when you're studying two cultures, there are two ways of looking at it. One, you look at the culture or the festival, and the other, you look at the perceived of it, what you're perceiving, what you're seeing. And there are two approaches, one as an insider and the other one as an outsider. The insider are the visible and invisible forms and the reality, signs and symbols, which give meaning to it as an insider. The outsider, you just record. In this regard, the sacred bond between person and place becomes a reciprocal purpose, process, where the human relation is received primarily while narrating the space, understanding the space, becoming part of the spirit of the space, that is the genus Locus, Lucai. This process of understanding the space and the place involves the recognition of interrelationships and the essence of the place that includes factors such as human settlements, development, land ethic, the dynamic nature of the changing value system, a harmonic relationship between man and nature. And we're looking at the mystical power of the place being a part of the human consciousness. Rituals, we go then to rituals, festivals, religion, tradition. Wherever people settle, the tenets of their faith and performance of their age-old rituals and customs are introduced and established. The rituals provide fraternal bonds and collective strength to face new challenges for the future. People perpetuate legends. They make myths, relating them to divinities or energy symbols of antiquity. And these legends and myths themselves then influence the people. In the sense of perception of higher forms of existence become reflected and are visualized through the performance of worship, puja. From the socio-religious perspective, these serve as a means by which man establishes his relationship with his God or deity, who in turn is attributed the characteristic of the very reality that man seeks to worship. Religion is then born and nurtured. The social and cultural need and economic value lead to the crystallization of repetitive actions into traditions. Festivals are born and nurtured into performative traditions. But what are the problems related? You have to do detailed planning. When you're working in cross-cultural environments, you have limited time, you have limited money, you have to do it, go there, get the work done, come back out. So you need detailed planning, you need the selection of the space and the place, the determination of the surveys, and then the sociological issues, the historical, the geographic, demographic, and artistic side of it. Then, from an anthropological point of view, and from the artistic side, what are you going to choose? What ritual, what festival? I'm dealing with, in my case, I chose Ram Leela, and I thank Professor Al Crichton and Professor Samaru for that extensive introduction into the Ramayana, and I don't have to talk about it again, but I want to separate two things. When we talk the Ramayana, we talk either Valmiki's Ramayana, which is BC, and we talk Tulsidas's Ram Charit Manas, which is 16th century. Valmiki's Ramayana is an epic where Ram is not God. Ram is hero, and layer upon layer of story is built around it. He's always told he's God, but he's not God. In Tulsidas Ramayana, Tulsidas makes Ram God, and that's the significance of the two. So we are dealing now with Ram Leela, and we're dealing with village theatre, and therefore you're dealing with Maidan. There are two aspects of Ram Leela. You have the Manch, which is proscenium stage, and you have the village theatre or Maidan. You don't know if it's village, what is going to be the standard. So whatever you see, that's what you get in terms of the village theatre. Selecting the country, selecting the space, the history, geography, the artistic content, the statistics, you're dealing with the gender issues. I chose two spaces. One, Felicity in Trinidad, which is approximately 100 years old. That is the Ram Leela of Felicity. In 2008, it was 98 years old. And of course, Ayodhya, which is the, this of course is Vidya Naipaul's house, Lion House, of which Vidya Naipaul himself wrote of the Ram Leela of Felicity, which was next to his house where he was born. Yeah. And my aim was try very much not to idealize the religious or secular nature of the study, just to present the facts with appropriate philosophical and metaphysical underpinnings, historical antecedents, and then draw objective conclusions, which are neither commendatory nor condemnatory. Then the venues. And I would quote from Naipaul. This is the Felicity Maidan, the savannah, right? It is performed in an open grass multipurpose playing field which serves throughout the year for cricket, football, kite flying, grazing of animals, depending on the season of the year. And I'm quoting Naipaul in literary occasions. It was done in an open field in the middle of sugarcane. The pageant ended with the burning of the big black effigy of the demon king of Lanka. The burning was one of the things that people had come for, and the effigy, roughly made with tar paper on a bamboo frame, not very different to this, had been standing in the open field all the time as a promise of the conflagration. Everything in that Ramlila had been transported from India in the memories of the people. The Ramlila had given reality and a lot of excitement to what I had known of the Ramayana. So that's Naipaul. We now go into Derek Walcott. And Derek Walcott writes of the Felicity, or I should what there, the same Ramlila. And he says, and he talks about him looking at the Felicity Ramlila, and this was in his Nobel acceptance speech, Fragments of an Epic Memory. And he says, the costumed actors from the village were assembling on a field strung with different colored flags like a new gas station. What we generally call Indian music was blaring from the open platform shed from which the epic would be narrated. Costume actors were arriving, princes and gods, I suppose. What an unfortunate confession. Gods, I suppose, is the shrug that embodies our African and Asian diasporas. It was as if on the edge of the Karani Plain, there was another plateau, a raft on which the Ramayana would be poorly performed in the ocean of Keen. But that was my writer's view of things, and it was wrong. I was seeing the Ramlila at Felicity as theatre when it was fate. We move from Felicity to where Ram was born, Ayodhya. Or at least legend says he was born in Ayodhya. Which one here? Now, this is the Ramlila Research Institute of Ayodhya, where Ramlila is done for the last 4 years every single day. And that is Manch Ramlila, which is Prasenyam stage. But look at this corner here. The corner here, this shot I took when I was in Ayodhya, is where Tulsidas, Goswami Tulsidas, sat and wrote one of the chapters of the Ramlila, of course, the Ramcharitmanas. Now, both Ramlilas, there were philosophical and religious issues, observances, vrats, rituals, a number of things. I would now go into my findings on what I found with these two bits of research. There were about 10 findings. One, symbols as tools for interpretation, as Professor Crichton indicated. The ritual and festival is like others. It has specific symbols and emblems. It is infused with potent energy over time, making it an object of veneration. Some, they are the symbols of light, of divinity, of common seasons for celebration, the use of music for conveying emotions and instilling passion. There are layers upon layers of thought processes. Light is present in the Ramlila. Every day in the Ramlila, when the performers went to perform, arti was done to them. They ceased to be performers. They were called swaroops. A swaroop is a player, lila. And therefore, you were God. You became God, as distinct from a patra, who was a vessel. The actor is the patra. So the rest of the cast in the Ramlila is the patra, right? And the gods, which they call in Ayodhya, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatruhan, the four main brothers, or the brothers, they are called murtis or swaroops. So you have separation. And therefore, light, arti, that is waving of the light in front of them, was done to these swaroops because they were incarnations of God as they walked. And they upheld dharma, which is really a way of life and not religion. Religious rituals, then there was the issue of seeing, perceiving. And in seeing, when we talk about seeing, we talk about darshan. I get a glimpse of God. And therefore, in the Ramlila, when you looked at the swaroops, you were really seeing. You were not seeing these people who were now dressed as Ram and Lakshman. You had darshans of God. You were seeing, you had that glimpse. The skeptics would call it maya, illusion. This darshan is facilitated by the removal of inhibitions through, though in some cases, the media of prayer, mantra chanting, the chaupais, the dohas, as Professor indicated. Through these images, right, and these various what we'll call moods or ras flavors you saw. Music, both melodic and harmonic, another important symbol, had been an intrinsic part of the rituals and the festivals. This is Faizabad. Faizabad was the capital initially of the United Provinces. After a battle, the Muslims left Faizabad and they moved into Lucknow. But Sahab Ganj Ramlila is between Faizabad and Ayodhya, right? Then there are elements of the performative traditions, symbols of interpretation. I just spoke about light, divinity, music. The transportive and the transformative. Within the performative traditions, there are two kinds of performances. The transformative, where the performer's persona are changed through the receipt of some psychic experience or darshan, and the other, the transportive, where the performers return after their performance to their starting places. This is apparent in the swaroops, and I've explained who the swaroops were. Until the swaroops took off their costume and they had their purification bath at the end of this 16-day performance, Trinidad it is 10 days, here it was 16 days, they went to the river Sarayu, which is on the outskirts of Ayodhya. And on the last day, they went with all their costumes, bathed. So they went in as Ram and Lakshman and the others. They came out as normal young boys to live their mundane lives, the transportive, the transformative. Now, the same thing happens every evening in Felicity when you are transported and then you have to do the aarti and the pandit brings you back into being normal. So that's the difference in Ayodhya and Felicity. Every night, the Ayodhya people went to the Ram Janki Mandir in Ayodhya to bring themselves back, those patras. Then, there's the text and the context. Within the fabric of the rituals in the festival itself, there are the interwoven issues of text and context. You have the literary text, the Ramayana, then you have the next text, the Ramcharit Manas, and then you have the other text, the moral of the story. So you had three, but then you had the context. Faizabad, the pandit or the sutadhar or the kathakar, the storyteller, he stuck to the text. He would open his text and he would run to each performer and whisper in his ear and hand them the microphone and they would speak in direct speech. They stuck to the text. Felicity, on the other hand, the pandit would stand, sing his chaupais and dohas, interpret it, and then he would use analogies of contemporary issues and present it. So you would have politics and religion and, and what's happening in Felicity and Shaguanas, he would contemporize it, and you have the analogy. So context always was changing and keeping the text there. So you had an annual renewal of the text. Rule of the audience. The audience, they were pilgrims, they assumed multiple roles. When they went to the Ramlila and the Pandit say, Sri Ramachandra ki jai, everybody in the savannah said jai. So they became pilgrims. They became devotees. At the end of the Ramlila, the audience would come and do aarti to Ram and Lakshman and the others. Then they were devotees. And when Ram is returning in Ayodhya, as in Felicity, they went behind him and they were now pilgrims. And any place that Ram walked on became holy ground. So Ram passed through Felicity to go to Ayodhya. And therefore, Felicity became holy ground. And therefore, the fate became reality. Then, here we have, they are moving through Ayodhya on the last night when they are returning back from Lanka. This is being pulled by a farmer, a tractor. Light, again. The observances of Vrat, maintenance of the sanctity of the legend, maintenance of the philosophical issues, the use of the senses. The five senses played a major role in affecting transcendence, shifting awareness, creating separate realities. The prasad, the aarti, even going into the river Sarayu and drinking the dirty bacteria water. They were drinking it and bathing in it. For them, it was holy water. Seeing. The whole process of seeing, what Derek Walcott talks about, it was fate. I was seeing actors, but these were not actors. These were swaroops. That is the Felicity Ramlila. Gods, I suppose. Application of science, technology, and innovation. In the sound, in the costuming, in the lighting, in the synthesized music, in the synthetic music instruments. Tassa acoustics were changing. So there was a dynamic change which is taking place. Engaging space. Hanuman, at the end of it, when he's returning, right, an effigy of his is pushed in Ayodhya through the streets for 3 and 4 hours in the night. And they just move all around. Hybridization, multi-religious. In Felicity, the Hanuman is played by an Indo-Trinidadian. But the sound effects technician, his wife, is an Afro-Trinidadian. And she sits on the Singhasan with the Pandit because she is fixing the sound effect and the lighting effect there, right, through the computer. Technical inputs, there are Hindus and there are Muslims who are making the effigies, right? And they're burning it too. Then culture is transcending religious dogma. There's no religion there. Everything is happening, and you're happening every day. When the performance is finished, everybody go to eat. This is a very interesting thing. We're talking about looking back to India. This lady, Vimla Singh, her father came to Trinidad, her grandfather, had 11 children, took his 2 sons back to India, left 9 daughters in Trinidad, and she is the product of one of the sons that went back. It just so happened she was carrying on the tradition of the Sahabganj Ramlila, right, in Faizabad, and looking for her roots in Trinidad. I happened to meet her. Of course, gender issues. I think we have completed. Ram as Ravan, seeing. When Ram and Lakshman walk onto the stage, they approach or they engage Ravan on horses pulled by carts, on wheels. So, in conclusion, there are 2 points which I would draw. One, cultural persistence reflects changes in the pattern of development arising not only from reactions of other cultural traits, some dominant, and I'm talking about it within the Trinidad context here, but more so responses to stimuli within the psyche of the Indians themselves, which Professor Samaru talks about, genetic conscience, or consciousness, and later becoming dominant cultural traits within the Indo-Trinidadian community, having traveled from India and perpetuated through successive generations in the mother country. And the last one, which is interesting, is I want to salute the audacity of the spirit of the Indian immigrants who crossed those black waters 12,000 miles to the west, and even though dubbed illiterate, were able to establish, translate, and introduce the oldest extant epic, the Ramayana and the Ramcharitmanas, in the new world of Trinidad as Ramlila, theater of the people, so that a third generation successor could stand before you and narrate this historical event at the turn of the 21st century in the land of the former colonizers.